So, hello everyone. Thank you for being here. I hope you had fun with your workshops and fun with plotters. My name is Mark and I will do a brief talk about how to run a festival on Libre Graphics. Why did we run a festival on Libre Graphics? Mainly because I'm an open source guy. I like to use free software and Libre tools. And so we lit a little festival over in Offenbach, Germany. And but before we start, a little question. That's my favorite picture from the Oscars this year. Who in this room did by chance see the film Flow? Raise your hand, please. Great, that's a great number. Flow has been a film that most of you might know has been done with Blender, and it won at the Oscars this year. And the other film that won Best International Feature Film was I'm Still Here, a Brazilian movie. So for us, it was like, boom, what a time to be alive. A Libre Graphics film wins at the Oscars, and a Portuguese language film wins Best Feature Film. That was like something that I would not have expected like 2 or 3 years ago. And then again, it might be different in the next years. Short overview, for this specific audience, much of what I'm saying will not be a big surprise. I will go through some of the toolings that we used. Some of the tools are very obvious. I'll go through them quickly. I'll describe a bit, I'll speak a bit about myself, a bit about the festival, and then we I try to be brief and in time so that we can come up to the slightly more interesting parts. But rocket science in what we did for the festival. About me, I'm a PR and marketing guy, a FOSS and Linux enthusiast, as I said. I love fair fashion, by the way. I've seen about 3 pairs of Veja sneakers here at this festival, which made me very happy. As much as I like to go to open source conferences, you might more likely see me on a festival because I travel a lot to festivals the last years. My background is Portuguese, which is important for this talk, I guess, since the festival had a focus on Portuguese language films. I do host a radio show in Frankfurt on a small non-commercial network for like 18 years, and we feature local bands and the local cultural scene, so that's my connection to the scene in the Rhein-Main area. And I have not connected to specific open source projects, so I have been working for Collabora and technical marketing throughout 4 years. But I might loosely jump in on a project here and there if I have time. But I've been really a regular Music Brains contributor, which came to my mind. So I want to mention it here. Besides that, I organize free concerts in Offenbach, literally at a wagon close to the river. And recently, since January, I became one of the organizers of a small team that runs a festival. The festival, like I mentioned, has a focus on Portuguese language film. So our idea was, we have a lot of festivals in our region, but we didn't have an output for Brazilian, Portuguese, Angolan, Mozambique, films from Mozambique. But I knew there were some, and there was good stuff available, so we had this idea for many, many years in mind, and last year we went forward with the idea and set it up. Just some numbers about this first, one of the smallest festivals in our area, obviously. We had 0 public funding. The festival took place in 2 venues. We were in a small cinema in our city of Offenbach called Filmclub Offenbach, and we had a small art space where we were screening short films. And we gave out 2 prizes. You'll see a picture of the trophy at the next slide. And the festival went on for 4 days, but we had some events in advance of the festival and after the festival. That's why the number of visitors has this 300 to 400. At the festival, we had about 300 visitors, but including the events before and after the festival, it was around about 400 people. We had 6 filmmakers present. Actually, we had a Brazilian filmmaker coming from Brazil supporting his film. We had an Angolan filmmaker from living in London coming to the festival supporting his film. We featured films from 6 countries, actually even more if you look at co-productions too. We only had 3 feature films because it was our first year and we didn't really know if people would be interested in what we're doing and showing, but we had a short film competition and we ramped up the screenings of around about 40 short films. Had a range from people that made their first short film to others that have been screened at Locarno. We had a theme, a motto, Once Upon a Time, the Revolution. So the topic was Our starting point was the 50 years revolution, the Carnation Revolution in Portugal, but at the same time, transition from authoritarian states to democracy, colonialism, and of course, the independence of the struggle for independence in Angola and Mozambique. That were fun topics, right? That were our topics. And that's the trophy. It's an upcycling thingy because one of our team members does rings from spoons. Basically. Here are some photos, what it looked like. The upper row is the small, the larger venue, the film club. The lower photos come from the smaller venue, which is really a really small art space. We didn't have a screen like that. Our screen is way smaller, and our beamer might be less potential too than this one here. So I was thinking about, when I started applying for the talk, I was thinking like, wherever we were in control, we pretty much used LibreGraphics for everything we did. Flyers, postcards, web, social media, which is true. But I came up with this list, actually, whenever we were in charge of infrastructure or the tools we were using, we were pretty much almost always using LibreGraphics. But whenever, of course, external teams came into play, not so much, and when we're not in charge of the infrastructure, like the film club, which does obviously play DCP, digital cinema packages. And I've noticed, even myself, we had like three random social media assets that I created on Canva, probably just because I needed some inspiration or something. But we also noticed whenever we were doing something on a phone, which we did when we were traveling, being another film fest, promoting ourselves, we know of no options for cutting a video on a mobile phone, and that way we were using proprietary software. And obviously, the films we showed were mostly, probably, we don't know how they're produced, probably mostly done with proprietary software. Come to the tooling. Obviously, we used Inkscape a lot. The most important tool for running a film festival is your email client, but besides that, it's a lot of advertising, routing for people to come to your festival. We've produced postcards that we actually mailed to some people, too. We had social media postings, assets, stuff. Most of the graphical work was done within Inkscape. We did things in GIMP, too. Mainly preparing parts of graphics for small video clips or stories and high story formats on social media, but most of the stuff really Inkscape all over. Kdenlive, we didn't have to do much. Luckily, we didn't have to do much video editing, mainly because it's pretty. You can't really upload content from the films to social media or something. That's a gray area. Not even gray. You can't actually do it. So we worked a lot with film stills to advertise the things, but here and there we cut some smaller trailers and stuff and did use Kdenlive for that. Some subtitling was done in Kdenlive, but subtitling has been on other tools mostly. I'll come to it later. Obviously, we did use VLC because, as I told you, we had two venues. The smaller venue, it had a beamer. We didn't have to bring equipment there. But we did run it from a laptop. And we were actually thinking about not using VLC. It's an obvious choice. You throw any kind of format at it, VLC will play it, right? But we had issues because we did all the testing on Linux machines at my place. And what you want to do is when you run a playlist of short film, you want it to run smoothly. You create your playlist, you have your breaks, you have a small video for the breaks, and you want to press space, run the videos, and only press space again when you have a Q&A or a break comes up, right? And we had those glitches on Linux. It wouldn't show on all the machines we tested. It wouldn't run smoothly. It would have ugly glitches. Interesting enough, we did run the things on VLC from a MacBook, and that worked perfectly fine. Less obvious tools, I don't know if I mentioned, I've worked for Collabora and LibreOffice like for 4 years in technical marketing. Maybe that's one of the things that sometimes I don't even open a graphical program, but might do some simple graphics in Draw or Impress. I thought I was using Draw, but actually, as I'm looking at it, it's slides, it's Impress, right? Because we had to create banners some weeks before the festival. that would run weeks, months before the festival. Some banners would run before, when people arrive at the cinema, promoting our festival, promoting the films we were showing. And that was done way before much of the... We didn't have templates ready. I just slapped it in 5 minutes. I slapped some film stills on it, used the font title, and when people... And that was would be screened. Very simple, straightforward advertising. I think it was JPEGs or PNGs. 16 to 9, very simple format, very efficient marketing at the other end. We use a font which is more a CI idea, but since we were showing films mainly, we also had regional films from the Frankfurt Rhein-Main area, but mainly our content is Portuguese language films. So we wanted to use fonts too. We like the idea that on a meta level, you use stuff made by Portuguese people too, and or Portuguese, Brazilian, Portuguese-speaking people too, and preferably open fonts in a way. And we came about XO2, which I knew that font for a long time. I like it, and it was for that year our main font. We used it almost everywhere. But the idea is from July on, we start a new season for the next year, and we'll take another font, maybe from a Brazilian font type designer, hopefully something on an open license. If you know font designers that do interesting stuff, let us know. Just for me, as a fan, I was on a festival in October last year, and I've seen the font used in a production from New Zealand, actually. It's one of the few fonts I'm familiar with, so I've noticed it. I've been rooting for Offenbach to at some point maybe host an LGM. I just want to let you know that we have a font type museum, because we have a history in font type and in printing machines and printing industry. And we've seen the same Bold Stories exhibition there last year. And that exhibition was great because it gave us contact to four Flinta font designers from Brazil, Portugal, and France with a Portuguese background and stuff. So we want to, we know that in font type, women are underrepresented, and we want to address it, and we want to use more font types designed by female or Flinta font designers. We did use Handbrake at some point. Luckily, we didn't have to do much conversion of media files. But when you do a film festival, you get a lot of different file formats and sizes. Just for comparison, one of the longest films we had was the feature documentary that was a 1.5 gigabyte MP4 file. Another local filmmaker from our art school provided us, it was a 5-minute film, but it was the largest file we had, 64 gigabytes. And at the end of the day, it could have been shown in a cinema format or a DCP format. Maybe for that format, it would have been right. But at the end of the day, we showed it through a Beamer, and we wanted to save space and not be so hard on our infrastructure. So some things we converted. Actually, maybe we didn't really know what we were doing with Handbrake, and it wasn't probably the best tool we chose. But as a matter of fact, because because of time constrictions, we used it for that, and it worked for us. Subtitling was a bit more interesting. Usually, the contributions we had from Brazil, Portugal, Angola, they needed to come with English or German subtitles. We didn't expect German subtitles. Most of them come with English subtitles. But we made exceptions too. We had a first-time filmmaker from Angola, which really nailed the topic. They didn't have to follow a certain topic to be accepted, but this one was really on point. He made street interviews about the 50 years of independence in Angola. It was a beautiful film. We wanted to show it, so we decided, okay, it doesn't come with subtitles. We subtitle it ourselves. We know the language. We do it. But usually, when we do subtitlings, we would have something like a timecode file, an SRT file, and translate it. But in this case, we started from nowhere, and we noticed it doesn't make much sense to do this workflow in KdenLive or something, which you could, of course, do. But we went through the Linux repositories, found two or three options, more than we thought. And at the end, we ended up, I think it's called KDE Subtitle Composer, which is really nice because you have this audio file back there. You can stop and work in the time codes directly and translate from audio. For that workflow, it was exactly what we needed and worked pretty fine. I'm not a command line guy. I'm not a very technical person. But if you give me some if it makes sense for me, if it's reasonable and it saves me work, I will always, of course, like to use a command line file. And subtitling was really, really, really easy with MKV merge. All we wanted to have it simple. We wanted to reduce complexity, so we burnt in all the subtitles to the movies. And it's like you put it in a folder, you add the you choose the name of the file, you choose the name of the SRT file in the same folder, you choose an output name, and within seconds you have a file with subtitles. Another thing is we want to position subtitles differently because our venues have the speciality, they are flat. So sometimes we actually, for a future thing, we might want to have subtitles that are not shown under the film but up the film, but that's something for the future. And we had, just to tell you a story, we had a small, that was a film that was also a debut film from Brazil, a short, and I had messed up. We had a final check, and I had forgotten to burn in the subtitles, and we were on the venue. But we were like in seconds and minutes while we were showing the first part of the program. We were on the second laptop searching for the subtitle we found. Within a minute or two, while the others were actually seeing the program, we subtitled it in seconds, and within the break, we could actually replace and do this film. This was MKV merge, saved our day. That's the final slides, just for me, because I've noticed we didn't really debrief ourselves, really. We had some issues, legacy formats. We had to produce a screener from a DVD for not one of the judges, but one of the people that presented one of our films. And we've noticed, I think that has been more easily 10 years ago. We were like, oh, we don't know how to rip a DVD anymore. That was really difficult for us. If you know how this works, approach us. Positioning of subtitles is something that we're searching for. We had issues with Firefox. A lot of our files that we downloaded, large files, wouldn't download correctly. Just later, weeks after the festival, we found out that not Nextcloud was our problem, but Firefox, the downloads. And, well, of course, we're taking place in January, so half of the team gets sick or something. This is just the usual things that that happen when you do a festival in winter. But we pulled it off. Those parts that we weren't controlled of were pretty much done with LibreGraphics. As you see, nothing complex. Most of those tools, you're well familiar with them. We had a success. We had a lot of work. You don't earn money with film festivals, of course, but you get a lot of people. You get a lot of good feedback, and a lot of people really helped in some way or the other to make this one. You get a lot of, a little bit like an open source. You get a lot of support for what you're doing, and people keep helping and in very different ways. I think I'm actually on time. If you have questions, please address them.
I see a question at the back.
Thank you for the hint about Subtitle Composer. I was wondering, does it, does Kden Live, does it support automatic subtitling using VOSC, for instance?
It might be. There are some things that the tooling is there, and we like the experience now because we're first-time festival makers. I haven't been showing publicly a film before August 24, so we're amateurs in that business. We come from a cultural background, we have contact and stuff, but we're not professional filmmakers. So actually, Kden Live is that where I had the best learning curve. My video editing improved a lot throughout the fast heavy automatic subtitle. I wasn't even aware of it, but I can tell you I've learned a lot. We've had other things. We prepared some graphics, as I said, in GIMP that we used in Kden Live. Just weeks later, we found out through tutorials that much of the work we done, we could have easily done in Kden Live directly. And so there's a lot for us to learn about what Kden Live can actually do for us. And it will take a lot of work from us in the future. Yeah.
We have two more questions on this side, and then we probably need to hand over to the next speaker.
Thanks for the talk. Is there any open source software to play digital cinema packages and to somehow deal with the DRM that they seem to have sometimes?
Mm-hmm. the snipper packages or DCP packages, what you, DCP, yeah. DCP. The thing is, I've looked into, I hadn't much contact with the DCP files because usually I forward them to the cinema and to the projectionist, but on subtitle review, it looks pretty open. If you look at it, there's XML files for the subtitles. Probably there is, but since the venue isn't ours and you say it's a cinema that plays Hollywood productions, so they have some certain restriction, and DRM is definitely a thing in cinema packages. Honestly, I don't know much about the format, but I think it's an interesting thing and I might explore it a little more. But yes, I think they are, as you can play them in open source. Since we didn't place digital cinema packages, we don't know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, it was my question is kind of related because I saw you were using MKV or MP4 or whatever. Like, but don't the cinema ask you about having DCP files? In fact, why don't you use? I mean, don't the cinema ask you about DCP files?
The good thing is about the cinema. I don't know what they do, but they handle all the formats easily themselves. You get DCP. It has a lot to do where you book the film. If you book a very new film, you will probably get a digital cinema package with the restrictions and the DRM on it. Since this was a 10-year-old movie, I think we might have gotten two different formats, and we chose one to forward to the cinema, but not all the films you book come in DCPs. A lot of them come if they're new and if they're Hollywood productions, but as soon as you go into something older or something, you might show something else than a digital cinema package. Or sometimes we also had one of our newest films was a digital cinema package, but we had issues with the digital cinema package, and we had to replace it. So I think at the end it was delivered on a USB stick or something by mail to be there in time for the festival.
And just like as an answer to the person who spoke earlier, yes, there are free software for DCPs. There are free software for DCPs.
Yeah.
To make them.
Okay, thank you.